wear this, or do you want to use this?
Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Going to talk about the prayer of abiding. I went to the rabbi's conference in Florida a few weeks ago, and they talked a little bit about this, but it really piqued my interest to really dive into the word abiding. It always means so much more than what we think it means, right? So John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me, can do nothing. Abide being the key word here is significant. In the Greek, it is meno, meaning to remain in or not to depart, to continually be present or to be held or be kept continually. In other words, abiding is to be kept continually by the Lord. Abiding is to be held by the Lord. The Lord sustains us as his sheep, just as he sustains the universe. I think a lot of times I look at this abiding and think that it's all me. I have to do this. And I focus on the negative passages that seem to point that it's all us, right? Here it's stating specifically that the Lord is sustaining you. He's holding you through this process. It says, my Father is the gardener. Do you sustain yourself? No, the Lord sustains us just as he sustains the universe. He has a big part in this whole thing. So one thing is clear in this passage, we cannot do anything without the Lord. A lot of the times we do things without even going to the Lord first, and we wonder why we fall flat on our face. This is part of our branch being trimmed or pruned, for apart from him, we can do nothing. On our own strength, we tend to fall flat. Stay in accordance with his will and remain in him. So later in chapter 15, he's talking and he says, the branch that does not produce fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. I think of that and I think, wow, I got to do this. This is all me. I've got to remain in the Lord. But this is just the pruning. And anybody that knows anything about pruning is that the dead branch is cut off so that you can grow. You can grow. So every time we go through such bad situations, it's God pruning us. In Hebrews chapter 12, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. As branches, this is the pruning we are experiencing. The Lord is basically saying, you produce fruit. Now here, produce more fruit. Or in the Tanakh, my son, never despise Adonai's discipline or dread his correction. For Adonai loves those he reproves, even as a father, the son whom he delights. So sometimes we experience things and the Lord, we think, why this? And the Lord is because he delights in you. It's because you are a legitimate son, not an illegitimate or a legitimate daughter. So, as they say in Judaism, particularly Messianic Judaism, cling to the Mashiach. And the essential component to abiding in the Lord is our prayer life. That's why it's called the prayer of abiding. And time is essential. Let us spend time with him, meditating on the Lord, listening for him. Let's take time. We will never find it if we seek it, because life does not ever stop. At least it never does for me. Let's steal time from other things if we have to. Yeshua did this. And his prayers in doing the will of the Father were equated to nourishment. For he said, I have food to eat you know nothing about. Our prayers are nourishment to us, but also key to our understanding. Watchman Nee said, "Negligence in prayer withers the inner man." Leonard Ravenhill said, "I don't care how great the man is, no man is greater than his prayer life." The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. That's easy for me to say. Many singers, few clingers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing in prayer, we fail everywhere. Rabbi Charlie Kluge said, "To experience intimacy with Hashem, we must seek him. We must be willing to say to Yeshua, 'Reveal yourself to me.'" Mankind was expelled from paradise because of our pride and lust. So in order to experience God's presence, we must be willing to lay down our pride and self-reliance and totally submit ourselves to Hashem. He far exceeds anything our minds can conceive. Shabbat Shalom.
All right, that was such a great word. And as Jason was speaking, I was thinking about the Aaronic benediction, "The Lord bless you and keep you, abiding in the vine." But the Lord keeps us in the vine, and I hadn't thought of that before. So what a wonderful word, and we appreciate that. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you're visiting with us today, we're so happy to have you, and especially if it's your first time here, we'd love for you to fill out a visitor's card. We're thinking about changing the name to connection card, because we want you to be more than a visitor. We want you to be connected in whatever level that the Lord is leading you. So there is a visitor's card for now, and if you'll put your email address on that, you can get emails and know what's going on at Cold OD. Also, we've checked your bulletins for birthdays. I believe Cindy is your birthday tomorrow. Hey, happy birthday. And I don't see Sandy Engel, but I think hers is today. Oh, is it Monday? Okay. All right. And then in a moment, we're gonna have our prayer time. And our prayer time, I would like for us to just really put the emphasis on praising the Lord today. Didn't we have a great worship time? Let's just thank the Lord and praise him for all the things that he's been doing. And during that time, you can also bring your offerings to our tzedakah boxes or offering boxes in the front, in the back. Rabbi Ken is not feeling well. I think he has what so many of us have had, this head and sinus and respiratory thing. How many have had that? I think everybody. Yeah, and so pray for him that he'll get to feeling better. And then Francis and Teresa and Fran are at a women's retreat, and I'm sure that they're going to have a wonderful time together, and just pray for them about that. We've received word there's a 4-year-old boy who fell, and Paul and Joanne were telling me about it. He's fallen and he's poked a stick in his eye, so let's pray for him. It's just so awful. And Joe Villanova is getting better. He's been having some problems and with his feet, and we're just praying for him and his bone. But anyway, he was in the emergency room, but he's come and he's praising the Lord anyway. He came up here to be on the worship team after kind of a rough week. And Valerie, did your car ever get fixed? Not yet. Pray that Valerie's, maybe next week, pray that Valerie will get her car back. And I wanted to say that after going to the YMJA retreat and then that was so uplifting, and being with the ones from Zeke, such a blessing, and everybody down there. And then we had the Joshua Aaron concert, and I feel like I'm feeling new joy for the work. What about it? Let's keep moving forward. And I ran across a couple of verses. It may take me just a second to find it. This is out of the Message. You know, that's a paraphrase, not an exact translation. But in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, Paul says, one more thing, friends, pray for us that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. Do you like that? I love that. Pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. And then I have another verse for you. Out of Jeremiah 30:19. And after our worship time, I think this is particularly appropriate. Out of them will come thanksgiving and the sound of celebration. Out of them will come thanksgiving and the sound of celebration. I will multiply them so they will not decrease. I will also honor them so that they will not be insignificant. So we want to be the head and not the tail. And we want to move forward and do what the Lord has in mind for us. Keep praying that we accomplish our mission as Cold OD. Wanted to read a few things that have happened in the last year. You know, Fran makes these lists. She keeps track of different things that happen in the congregation. And last year in 2016, Zeke started monthly prayer and praise meetings. Zeke last year sent 7 to the YMJA Arch Conference, and also this year sent 7. Zeke had a Purim celebration at Belmont Fellowship Hall down on Music Row that drew 100 people. And they called it Purim on the Row. Zeke met at Etymology and had monthly Erev Shabbat dinners. And then Zeke went to Israel on a joint volunteer with Cold OD. So isn't it wonderful what they did last year, when you think it's quite a bit when you start looking back. Then we also had a women's testimony meetup group that met monthly with childcare. And the women were giving their testimonies and getting to know each other better. We relabeled our Great Escape tracks, Rabbi's favorite set of tracks, and they were handed out. We began having under-shepherds last year. We hadn't done that before. We'd had deacons or shamashin in the past. And then I wanted to say something about Rabbi's faithfulness in teaching the word. You know, I never have to walk into the congregation and wonder, is Rabbi going to teach the word today? You know, or is he just going to recite poetry and nice thoughts and just that type of thing? It never happens. You know, Rabbi's got that Bible college background, and he learned Hebrew and Greek, and we really get the word. He uses the Hebrew, and he does it in creative ways. And he's been faithfully doing this for 40 years. He never wavers when he is up here presenting God's word. Also, Rabbi started meetups at Whole Foods after the service. Rabbi led seders at 3 churches besides our own. Our seder at Embassy Suites last year drew 250 people. That was the largest yet. And you know, just these are things. The Lazy Susan for the Torah table, Robert Loveridge constructed that. Karen Eben made a new Torah table cover and cover for the Lazy Susan. We've been having Messianic Judaism classes every 6 weeks. And then again, Robert Loveridge built a double sukkah, and 50 people attended our Sukkot service. And then afterwards, we did something we hadn't done before. Francis led a water drawing ceremony prior to the breakdown of the sukkah. And then Josiah Summers and Jonathan Grimwood became Torah assistants last year. You know, we need to be reminded of these things. The lover just started a marriage enrichment, Havarah. And then Fran and Benjamin began the Westmead Havarah focused on service. The Jellops have begun a North Cheatham County Havarah, started before in November and December. Last year was our first year to have classes for the teenagers. We're just now starting to have that. And I asked one of the teenagers, how do you like the youth group, or how do you think we're doing? Is there anything else you would like us to do? And he said, "What's a youth group?" So we're not too far along, but we need to keep going. But we did take four to the Midwest Retreat, which is a YMJA regional event, and that was up outside Indianapolis, and there were about 50 there. And we really got to know a lot of people, and the young people are now all friends with each other on Facebook and keeping track of each other and begging to come. You know, ours are begging to go back again this following October. And hopefully it won't be snake season up there. All right, last year Jennifer Loveridge was hired on the children's ministry staff. She's my assistant on the children's ministry staff. On Saturdays, she assists me, but her main responsibility, of course, is for the worship. And then when they have events, it kind of switches out. I'm her assistant. Mary Harvey and I help her, like with Yellow Dean Sababa and Bible School. So 40 people from Cold OD went to the Messiah Conference. And then we had 15 on that volunteer trip to Israel. The Judaica store was inventoried and reopened for Hanukkah. We've added the droshes to the services, like the wonderful job Jason did. And we have more things planned for the children. So I just wanted to go over that, and we're ready to begin our tefillah time. But thank the Lord for all that He's done in this past year. And we know some may be hurting. We pray for you too. And we're ready now to begin. Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we come before you this morning, actually this afternoon, and we praise you and we thank you. Your hand is upon this people. Your hand is upon us. Your presence is precious to us. Your shalom, we don't take for granted. We need you. We worship you, and our hearts bow towards your throne. And may the adversary be rebuked in the name of the Lord and shamed. May the name of Yeshua be praised and honored and glorified. Amen. Well, obviously, Rabbi Ken is not here, and I've been called upon this morning to give the third final drash message today. You've heard Jason talk about John 15, which is very important because it kind of ties into what I was going to say a bit. And then you heard Owen talk about where the Lord has brought us from, what he has been doing among us. It's good to remember that. We have to remember not only what happened in the past, how God has been gracious. Scripture constantly commands us, remember. Remember God's grace. That's what Pesach is all about, or Purim. How God saved. Well, he does little workings among us. On Monday morning, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. For some reason, I couldn't get the movie Patton out of my mind. Great war movie, epic war movie, 1970 Academy Award, George C. Scott is General Patton. And there's a particular scene where Patton, there's a voiceover, he recites Psalm 63. And so I haven't been able to get Psalm 63 out of my mind all week. So I assume that the Lord wants me to go through Psalm 63 as a drash right now. It's about David in the wilderness. The wilderness in Judea and Galilee, in that area, is not like the wilderness of, let's say, Alaska. It's desert. It's dry. You don't know necessarily, unless you know where the springs are, where your next drink is going to come from. In Alaska, you'll probably come across a river at some point. In Judea, no. You got to know where those springs are, those wells. Wells were very precious. So the wilderness experience, spiritually, sometimes we go through a wilderness experience. And there's really three ways you end up in a wilderness experience. One, the Lord drives you into the wilderness, like the Spirit drove Yeshua into the wilderness so that the adversary may tempt him or test him. He came out of the wilderness spiritually razor sharp. The second way you might end up in the wilderness is you don't know how you got there. You just look around, and all of a sudden, you don't really recognize where you are. How did I get here? I don't remember. But now I'm here. And the third way is you voluntarily get up and go into the wilderness because you need it. Psalm 63, David may be running for his life. That seems to be the context. So he's being driven in the wilderness by an outside force. But it doesn't matter. Any three of the methods to get into the wilderness are perfectly fine with God if he wants you there. Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. I'm going to have to stop there. My God. God's not a possession. We are his possession. So my God means I belong to him more than he's something I have. I am something he owns. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. And this is appropriate for the wilderness because everything else is taken away. That's the purpose. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Have you ever been so thirsty that your skin stops sweating? Anybody? It's dangerous. I was in Utah once with some brothers and my cousin. We decided to go for a hike. This is many years ago. It was hot in the summer. So from camp, we go hiking in the Utah wilderness desert. And some of the party turns back to camp. I keep going with my brother. He says, yeah, I have water. I have a gallon of water in my backpack. Then he all of a sudden realizes as we go, I don't know how far, that it was leaking. So we had to turn back. And I don't know how far it was. But when I got back to camp, my skin was so dry. I mean, I thought I was, you know, on the verge of collapse. Thirst. Well, spiritually, if we thirst it to that level, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because your thirst, you know you need something. You need the Lord. More dangerous would be if we were dehydrated spiritually and didn't realize it. A lot of people walk around dehydrated. They don't drink enough water. They're dehydrated right now. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. You might be spiritually dehydrated and not realize it. So thank God if you do realize it. And if you go into the wilderness, it will become very clear. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. I think gathering together as a congregation to see God's power and glory. That's the purpose. To be in his presence. So because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. As long as I live. The person in the wilderness can make that type of commitment. Sometimes that is the reason you have been put in the wilderness. To get serious. That you're going to end your days blessing the name of God. If you haven't made a lifelong commitment to the Lord, if you're still on the fence, maybe you need to go to the wilderness. You'll find God there and he'll find you. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. Patton loved this psalm. In the dark days of World War II, he found strength in this psalm. He was in the wilderness as well. A different type than David. Nevertheless, where do you find joy in the midst of a war? The Lord can give you that. He can give you joy no matter how bad it gets. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And that's really what Jason was saying with John 15:5. We can't do this alone. We don't do anything alone in the flesh. We cling to the Lord and he upholds us. Now we get into the spiritual warfare part. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword, the truth. They will become a prey for foxes. Yes, we have an adversary who comes after us. The Lord will send them to the abyss. If you're in the midst of an onslaught spiritually, turn to Psalm 63, read it, and cry out to the Lord as if you thirst in a desert. And even in the midst of being hunted down, David was hunted down by adversaries. We here are hunted down by adversaries. But the king will rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. And that ends that psalm. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Lord, we thank you that you uphold us. We pray for Rabbi Ken right now that you would heal him and restore his health. We praise you because you uphold us. In the shadow of your wings, we can sing for joy. Our soul clings to you. And Lord, there is victory under the shadow of your wings. And you crush our enemies, and we thank you. May you arise so our enemies may be scattered. Lord, praise your holy name, your name above all names. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.